Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, a very warm and hearty welcome to all our listeners to the program Socially Speaking. We commence our program this morning, as usual, with Monday Morning Focus, the Ideal Muslimah, as it's called. And this morning, inshallah, we're focusing on a Muslim woman honors her guests. I think a very, very important topic there. That will be followed by Socially Speaking with Mawlana Muhammad Venka, our esteemed guest from KwaZulu-Natal, inshallah. This morning, we're discussing the holidays and our role as parents. Also a very pertinent topic. It's, and our listeners, our children out there must be so stressed out with the exams all over. Hopefully almost over, if not over yet. And yes, we're going to be talking about the role, you know, what our roles as parents are, the home environment. We want to look at that a little bit. And also holidays and the children. What do we do with our children during the holidays? What do we as parents do? What do children do during the holidays? And how we, alhamdulillah, can, you know, help them enjoy their holidays, obviously, in a good way. So hopefully that's what we're going to be talking to you about. But for now, our Monday morning focus. But I'd just like to inform our listeners that with me in the studio today is Sister Suraya Chauhan. Inshallah, she's sitting in and watching what we're doing and how our program goes on, inshallah. Just to get an idea as to what is happening, what happens in the studio all the time. And she's will inshallah be taking over from us during the holidays when we all take a break, inshallah. Anyway, I'd like to just say assalamu alaikum to her and welcome, and we're really looking forward to listening to you on our program. And I don't think she's going to say much today. I think she's just watching and absorbing, inshallah. Okay, right back to the Monday morning focus, the Ideal Muslimah, and this morning we're looking at a Muslim woman honors a guest. Now, a true Muslim woman is always happy to welcome her guest and also hastens to honor them in response to the call of faith in Allah and, of course, the last day, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him honor his guest. So, yes, a very important role that a Muslim woman plays. And as a Muslim woman, we, you know, to call yourself a Muslim, this also obviously becomes a duty upon every Muslim to be able to honor your guest, no matter, you know, what time of the day it is or who it is that comes to your home. If a person comes to your home, it becomes your duty as a Muslim to honor your guest. And as you will listen a little later in the program, it is also that the guests also have a right. So that was quite amazing for me when I actually listened, you know, read about that. But I'm going to share that with you in a few moments. Now, the Muslim woman who honors her guests automatically confirms that she is a believer, and she's a believer in Allah and, of course, the last day. So automatically, when you honor your guests, you already, I mean, that is what a Muslim should do. So you are, alhamdulillah, a Muslim when you do this. Therefore, this honoring of the guest is called a reward that is given to the guest as if thanking him for the opportunity he has given to you to be to his host. He has given to you, the host, to do a good deed. So he's being rewarded for you doing a good deed, for you putting faith into your practice, and for you pleasing Allah. So he is getting reward. The guest is being rewarded for these things. So it's not only, you know, your duty to honor your guest, but even the guest is being rewarded, alhamdulillah. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him honor his guest by giving him his reward. So we should be giving him a reward by him being our guest. When they asked, what is his reward, O Messenger of Allah, he said, one day and one night. So one day and one night becomes a reward. The rite of hospitality is 3 days, and anything beyond that is an act of charity. So in other words, one day and one night becomes a reward for your guests. 3 days becomes hospitality. And if you are staying longer than 3 days, then that obviously becomes charity, which is also a good deed, alhamdulillah. Now, honoring guests is regarded in Islam as a great deed, which is encouraged and for which the sincere Muslim woman will be rewarded. But Islam regulated it and set limits for it. The reward of the guest is one day and one night. So the reward for the guest is one day and one night. Then comes the duty of hospitality, which is 3 days. And anything beyond that is the act of charity, which also will be recorded among the good deeds of the hospitable, generous woman. So alhamdulillah, I hope you understand that. It's so important for us to remember that, you know, it becomes a duty on us as true Muslims to honor our guests, and at the same time, the guest gets is rewarded for, you know, being a guest at your place. Alhamdulillah. Now, in Islam, honoring the guest is not a matter of choice to be followed or not according to one's mood or personal feelings. Again, yeah, I think it's very important for us to remember that honoring a guest is not a choice. It's something that we have to do. It's a duty. It's an obligation. We must fulfill this duty. And as a true Muslim, it is regarded as a great deed and it is encouraged as a Muslim. There's no choice in it. If a visitor comes to your home, it is your duty to honor that person, that visitor, at all costs. So yes, it is the duty on the Muslim man or woman who must hasten to fulfill this duty as soon as a guest knocks at the door or enters your yard. So, you know, it's so important for us to remember this. Unfortunately, these days, you know, we're all guilty of it. You know, when we get visitors, unexpected visitors, we're always frowning and thinking, oh my goodness, why couldn't they call us? Why couldn't they make arrangements with us? Why didn't they tell us that they're coming? Don't they know that we have other, you know, other things that we are, other things that we have planned? And this has become the norm. A person can, you know, in the olden days it was different. People could visit anybody at any time. But these days, you need to first make a call to make sure that the person is at home. Can I come and visit you? Would it be okay for me to visit you? Yet, you know, the minute a visitor comes to you, look at the reward. Look at the sawab you get for doing a thing like that, for honoring your guest. So, you know, I think these are things that we should be aware of as Muslims. You know, it is a duty. It's an obligation. It's not something that we have a choice. If somebody comes to your home, you need to open that door and welcome the person with so much of love and affection. And as you'll listen to us later as we go along, so all these big ideas that we these days have that, you know, you need to call a person before you go and visit the person. That's not what Islam teaches us. Sometimes you are passing by and you want to visit a person, but you know, we didn't call the people, so we can't go. And that is not how we're supposed to actually be. Now, they say accommodating a guest for one night is an absolute duty on every Muslim. So if you get a guest, okay, these days things are so much easier. You know, people just come and they can go back. We have the transport, we have cars, we have, you know, we have means to come and go. But, you know, before, or if people coming out from far, it becomes our duty to put them up for that night. It becomes a duty on us, absolute duty on us to, you know, accommodate that person for at least one night and one day. They say whoever gets up in the morning and finds guests waiting in his yard has a duty to fulfill, and it is up to him what he will do about it. So what do we do about it? We know as Muslims what our duty is. So we need to act upon it. Those who do not like to receive a guest and close their doors to him are not good people. As it is stated in the hadith reported by Imam Ahmad, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "There is no goodness in the one who is not hospitable." So remember, I think this is something that we all need to remember. When we turn away people, or we don't open our doors for visitors, or, you know, when they do come and we immediately tell them, "Oh, I'm so sorry, we needed to go somewhere. I'm sorry, we can't accommodate you. We can't have you visiting today." Because these days it's possible, wherever you go, you know, people are like that, unfortunately, and we need to change the way we are, if we are like that, alhamdulillah. Now, Islam, remember, we need to remember this, there is no goodness in one who is not hospitable. So this is something that not I said or you said, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Islam has made hospitality the duty of every Muslim man and woman, and consider it to be the guest's right. So when a guest comes to you, it becomes his right for you to be hospitable towards him. No Muslim should fall short in carrying out this duty. If a spirit of miserliness has overtaken a person to the extent that they deny their guest his right, then Islam permits the guest to take his right from him. I'm sure you weren't aware of this. I wasn't. But, you know, a guest has his rights too. So he's actually, you know, he has the permission to actually take his right from you. This is seen in the hadith narrated by Bukhari, Muslim, and also others from Uqba ibn Amir, who said, and this is what he said, "I said, O Messenger of Allah, you are sending us to people who do not feed us. What do you think about this?" He said, "If you go to a people and they order that something appropriate be brought, that is food and drink, then accept it. And if they do not do that, then take the things you as a guest are entitled to that they should have provided." So this is something that we need to be aware of. And I think many of us don't think that way, and many of us don't realize that even that guest that comes to your home has a right. It's not only, you know, us that have a right, or we the host that needs to play and that will be rewarded, but even that person that comes to your home, that guest, also have rights. Hospitality is a basic Islamic attitude. So you will never find a Muslim woman whose Islam is genuine, being stingy to her guest, no matter what her or her husband's circumstances. Islam has taught her that the food of two people will feed three, and that the food of three will feed four. So she need never worry about an unexpected guest knocking suddenly at her door. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, "The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the food of two people is enough for three, and the food of three is enough for four." And this can go on. So, you know, there is so much of barakat in our food. Allah has granted us so much of barakat in our food. And we see it every day. When you cook one little pot of food, how many of people cannot eat from there? So, when a guest comes to you, remember, that barakat increases. It's not going to, you're never going to fall short. So you should never ever feel that, you know, a guest coming to your house is a burden on me. And there's some example, a very important example I want to share with you, and I'm sure you've heard about this one as well. First, I'll come to it in a minute. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, "I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the food of one is enough for two, the food of two is enough for four, and food of four is enough for eight." Now, the Muslim woman whose personality has been cleansed and molded by Islam does not worry about there being too many people at the table, unlike other women who does not receive a guest for whom she has not prepared food in advance. This is unfortunately becoming our style as well. We will not accept people coming to our homes if they haven't, called you or made arrangements with you that they are coming to have a meal with you, or coming to visit you, or coming to stay at your place. The Muslim woman welcomes her guests even if the visit is unannounced, and invites them to share her family's food, no matter that her own share may be reduced by a few mouthfuls. Now, You know, in the olden days, I know I'm talking about that, but if we think of our parents, of our grandparents, they always used to teach us this, and they always used to say this. You know, no matter who comes to your door, you must never let them go away from your door, from your home, you know, hungry. Always invite them for a meal, no matter what. Even if it was just a piece of bread and butter, a cup of tea and some bread and butter that you had given them. But it's how and with what kind of heart that you actually, how much of sincerity that you actually give that slice of bread, maybe with a little bit of butter and jam. But they would never, you know, our grandparents, the elders in our time never used to let anybody go away empty-handed or, you know, empty without having given them a meal. So, yes, it's so important. I think they understood, you know, their duties as Muslims better than what we do these days. The true Muslim woman prefers hunger to ignoring the rights of a guest whom Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger have commanded her to honor. Indeed, Allah will bless the food of one so that it will become enough for two, and He will bless the food of two so that it will become enough for four, and so on. There is no need for that dryness and inhospitality from which, you know, Western influence, materialistic people are suffering in both East and West. So we as Muslims should never, ever let this overcome us. We should just think a little as to how much of love and understanding there was in those days. No matter who came to your house, they would open their doors and welcome them. And of course, give them the best of food, even if there was little. And of course, in those days, there was so little, but it used to have so much of barakat in it. They say the righteous sinner sets the highest example of honoring one's guests, so much so that Allah Himself commanded the way in which some of them honored their guests. An example of this is the hadith narrated by Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And this is what it is. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he sent word to his wives to prepare food. And they said, unfortunately, they had nothing but water. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asked, who will play host to this man? One of the Ansar said, I will. So he took the man to his wife, you know, home to his wife, and he told her, please honor the guest with of the Messenger of Allah. So please take care of this guest of the Messenger of Allah. And she told him, we do not have anything but the boy's food. So she had two little children, I guess. And he says, I just have food for the little boys. And he then told her, prepare the food, light the lamp, and put the boys to sleep if they want some supper. You know, without supper, just put them to sleep. So she prepared the food, lit the lamp, and put the boys to sleep. Then she got up as if to adjust the lamp. In other words, she turned the light down, but she extinguished it. And the couple pretended to eat with their guests, but in fact, they went to bed hungry that night. They allowed their guests to eat. They stayed hungry. Their little boys were put to sleep. But the next morning, the Ansari went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him: Allah has commanded what you two did last night. So Allah was so pleased what you had done last night, and he says Allah revealed, but they give them preference. This is in the Holy Quran, chapter 59, verse 9. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. But they give them preference over themselves. So they gave their guest preference over themselves, even though poverty was their own lot, even though they did not have for themselves. And those saved from the covetousness of their own souls, they are the ones that achieve prosperity. So they are the chosen ones. Allah loved those the most. The Muslim woman is generous and hospitable. She welcomes guests no matter when they arrive and never worries about the sudden arrival of guests. Please, you know, this is what we need to learn. In this way, she provides the best help to enable her husband to be generous and hospitable like her, welcoming guests and hastening to honor them with a cheerful, smiling face. That's also a very important thing. When you, you know, welcome your guests, always make sure that you welcome them with a cheerful countenance. You know, make them feel happy, make them feel that they are welcome. You know, unfortunately, again, many of us have this habit of welcoming people. You know, your husband is so happy to have his guest there, but the wife serves the food, but she is in such a mood, she's so angry, she's serving the food, but unfortunately, she's not happy about it at all. And she makes it in her own way, makes it known to the guest that, you know, you are here, but I'm not happy about it. You may be making my husband happy, but I certainly am not happy about it. So we need to be very careful with regards to that. Now, I'd like to share this poem. A poet writes this. He says, "I smile at my guest and make him smile before he brings in his luggage. Make him feel comfortable even before he brings in his luggage. As if I had plenty to offer him at the time when I am suffering hardship. Make him feel that I have so much to offer, even, you know, not making him realize that you may be suffering at that time. You may be going through hardship at that time. Hospitality does not consist of piling up food in front of him. The face of the generous man is the essence of hospitality." So how you welcome your guest, you know, your countenance should make your guest feel at home, feel comfortable. This is something that I thought was very, very important, and I need to share it with our listeners. For myself first, obviously this advice that I shared with you, and of course for all our brothers and sisters out there, inshallah. So the next time you entertain your guests, I think just remember the important things that I shared with you today. And remember, if you are not happy about the person coming to your home, then remember there is no goodness in a person that does not honor his guests. Well, the holidays are coming up, and I think this is something that we need to be aware of, take cognizance of, inshallah. Okay, we're taking a break. When we return, inshallah, we're talking to Mulana Mohammed Venka, our esteemed guest from KwaZulu-Natal. Inshallah, our topic today of discussion is holidays and our role as parents. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and joining me online this morning is Mulana Mohammed Venka, our esteemed guest from KwaZulu-Natal. Alhamdulillah. This morning we're discussing holidays and our roles as parents. Now, too often parents are running around stressing out to make arrangements for a perfect holiday for our children. And with the, you know, the kind of perfect holidays we often see in magazines and on TV, parents and children can begin to develop unrealistic expectations for both ourselves and our family members. And before we know it, the holidays are over, and we were so busy that we didn't even get a chance to enjoy them with our children or just enjoy our children. Now, like I said, Mulana Mohammed Venka is with us online. Assalamu alaikum, Mulana. Jazakallahu khair for joining us.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International. Jazakallahu khairan and barakallahu fikum for the opportunity.
Like I said, Mulana, you know, the exams are just over, almost over. Maybe there are still a few of them writing. It's coming to the end of the exams. Children were so stressed out. I think parents too. So and I'm sure they're all looking forward to the holidays coming up. So what is our role as parents during the holidays?
Yes, barakallahu fikum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmatuhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem amma ba'd. Listeners, you know, when we look at the lives that we lead today, unfortunately, we have become Muslims who worship Allah depending on the season. And, you know, once we, you know, we enter the blessed month of Ramadan, we find that spiritual energy in our homes, then you find the season of Hajj, Alhamdulillah, you know, you can find that sense of spirituality within our homes. But as the year draws to an end, we're speaking about the solar year, the solar calendar. As we are drawing closer to the end of the year, then we find that we drop our guard and complacency set into us, and we become totally complacent, you know, with regards to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We become totally oblivious of the laws of Allah. And one particular element, one particular aspect is that of our children. You know, we find many us, you know, in the love that we have for our children, in the profound love that we have for our children, they violate orders of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And sister, like you rightfully pointed out, and in fact, whilst you made mention of that, you know, a hadith of Nabi alayhi salam crossed the mind, where Nabi alayhi salam said, Al-waladu madkhalatun majhalatun. Many a time, children make their parents misers. What is meant by this? The ulama have written, in the profound love that you have for your children, you become very extravagant, you know, in your expenditure. So you will do whatever it takes just to bring a smile to your child's face, whether you can afford it, whether you cannot afford it. And yet again, another hadith of Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam said that your own children will drive you to poverty. How many parents today, you ask them, what is the plan for the holiday? No, I leave it to my children. Whatever my children decide, I give it to them. You know, it's your, as adults, as parents, what is our duty? What is our responsibility? We need to ensure that our children, they have the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in their hearts. So we don't, you know, the decision should not be given to them. But we as parents, we need to guide our children. We need to show them that which is the best. So number one, we need to become conscious of the orders of Allah. You know, we know we are living here on the coast in Durban. And you know what goes on? You know, parents come, children come, the children are doing their own thing, parents are doing their own thing. You know, we are on holiday and we drop our guard and we don't realize that we are Muslims end of the day. You know, we are governed by a certain code of conduct, you know, in terms of our dressing, in terms of our salah. So to create that environment, and this is that part of the year once schools close, you know, many of us as families, we go together, you know, we go on holiday, we go on vacations, whether in our country, we go abroad. You know, these are moments that we need to be conscious of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. You know, we should not drop our guard. Alhamdulillah, whilst we were at home, you know, we were guarded, you know, there was discipline, but no sooner the exams are over, the holiday period sets in, they speak, they call it the study season. I don't think for no, you know, there has to be a reason for this. So respected parents out there, we need to be very cautious with regards to the holiday season. We need to be guarded, especially when it comes to our salah, it comes to our dressing and how we conduct ourselves, you know, as Muslims.
Yeah, certainly. I think what we do tend to do, you know, during the holidays, during the school, the whole year, obviously, there's a lot of routine and a lot of, you know, discipline going on throughout the year. And come the end of the year, which is obviously sometimes the longest holiday, we all become so lax, you know, during the holidays. And unfortunately, even our duties towards Islam becomes a bit lax. And that is something that we need to, you know, you're a Muslim throughout the year, not only, you know, 10 months of the year for that matter. Now, obviously, Maulana, also, the children will be spending more time at home, you know, during the holidays. So the home environment changes, you know, children getting up at different times, home not tidy all the time, kitchen and fridges, of course, being raided all the time. Everything gets disrupted from the normal. How do we as parents cope with these changes in the home environment during the holidays?
Yes, absolutely. You know, when our children are at home, you know, of course, the environment is a little different. Normally, children get up earlier. They go on to school at night. You know, they retire to bed very early. They do their homework and they're extremely tired. Now, once the holiday comes, children tend to sleep a little later. You know, they get up later in the morning. And this is, again, we find many, many parents, you know, we are ensured that during the school days, our children, they have to read their first Salatul Fajr. We get them up early to read Quran, to read the Salatul Fajr, to read the Du'as, etc. But once the holiday sets in, we become totally oblivious. Remember, the holidays are not there for us to forget Allah. These are those moments where we need to remember Allah. So if our children are reading the Salatul Fajr, reading the Salah, you know, during the school year, when it comes to the holidays, you need to ensure that you need to get your child up at the time of Fajr. They are going to sleep at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Of course, it's going to become very, very difficult, you know, for them. And when it comes to, I think the other aspect is we give our children luxuries. And this is something which is not impermissible, but of course within reason. It has to be done within the confines of Sharia. You know, in terms of our children, we give them cell phones. You know, if there is a need, this is another topic on its own. They sit and they waste time. They sit on the PlayStation and, you know, on the Xbox and for hours on end. In fact, I read an article not too long ago. They say that the children, during the holiday season, you know, they sit and they're glued to that devil box. They're glued to that television. And for hours on end, they're sitting and watching television. So there has to be some discipline. You know, we as parents need to discipline our children. We need to give them, you know, to a certain extent, but we have to draw the line somewhere. At times, and we need to be honest with ourselves, I know many of parents, they find it difficult to tell their children no. So how can I tell my son no? He has excelled in examination. He has come out first in madrasa. How can I tell him no? So we drop our guard, and that's when children begin to take advantage of us. And later on, when you tell your child no, but daddy, you know, you never deprived me of anything. Why all of a sudden now? So to, I think, draw a line. And, you know, we need to show our children that love, show them that respect, give them, but within reason itself.
Another important thing that I came across is many of, well, it's not only come across about that, but it also happens all the time, is children complaining about boredom during the holidays. And I also read somewhere that you actually should allow your child to be a little bit bored. You shouldn't be doing everything for your child. What do you have to say about that, Maulana?
Yes, I think this is a very important aspect and element, you know, in the upbringing and the nurturing of our children. You know, naturally, many of us, our children go to school and they're after school. Many of them go to madrasa, you know, and the entire day is busy. Some of them are busy with health and they're busy with, you know, with their homework, etc. Now, naturally, when they're out of school, examinations are over, the entire day, and many children tell you that they are bored. You know, many children tell you that they are bored. Of course, one of the beautiful avenues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if our children are, of course, the boys, you know, have grown up in high school, send them in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, send them to the masajid. Let them spend time with the ulama. You know, at the same time, I think another very important aspect, and this is something that needs to be, I think, seriously considered, is our children, you know, they don't like to read. When it's, you need to encourage our children, you know, to read Islamic books. Or books that would be of benefit to them. Today, our children do not want to read. You know, the years gone by, alhamdulillah, you know, during Saturday mornings, we find that parents used to take the children to libraries. During the holidays, the mother would take the child to the library, sit with the child, you know, give the child some work to do. The daughter is at home. Let her assist you in the chores of the home, you know, cleaning the kitchen, cleaning the bedroom. Let her learn. Let her develop the skills at a young age. Because tomorrow, it's a matter of time. Before you know it, your daughter is 10 years old. Before you know it, in a blink of an eye, she'll be getting married. She's going to become a mother. She's going to become a wife. You know, your son, tomorrow he's going to become a father. So your father, you know, as parents, you're running a business, take your son, give him some responsibility, you know, during the holidays. You know, I recall when children were young in the years gone by, you know, parents used to find jobs for their children. Although the child earned 50 rands or 100 rands, but he worked for it. He used to cherish it. Unfortunately, today, our children do not appreciate what we give them. Everything is given to them on the plate. And I can say this conservatively. I think 90-95% of us, we can say it with absolute certainty that the lives that our children lead are perhaps 100 times, if not more, better than the lives that we led when we were young children. You know, we give them all the comforts, all the luxuries, but they need to understand what is the value of money. Today, you give your child 20 rand, they tell you, Dad, what is this? You know, it's nothing. So they need to appreciate. You know, so we need to, in our businesses, in our homes, you know, I always say this, when as parents, we need to acknowledge our children. Tell your child, you do this, you help me in the kitchen today, I'll give you so much. You tell your son, you help me in the office today, I'll give you so much for the day. So the son, the daughter begins to appreciate. You know, what is the value of money? They understand what is the value of, you know, commodities in this world. Today we go to a restaurant, you know, you spend 1,000 rands, the child doesn't understand what 1,000 rands is. You go to a supermarket, the child selects this and he selects that, and you pay it with a smile. He doesn't understand what is the value of money. So we need to discipline our children, you know, let them understand what is the value of money, what is, you know, what is it to earn some money. And then let them spend it. Like today you find children, you know, when they earn money, and then you tell them to spend of what they have earned, they find it very, very difficult. So I think this is another very important element and aspect that we need to imbibe in our homes, inshallah.
And also, this is also at times that, you know, domestic workers normally take their leave. Sometimes, unfortunately, the spouse as well, you know, both the spouses are working, they don't get off from work. What kind of backup or alternative strategy can be put in place to assure that our children are safe from, you know, all kinds of dangers? There's so many things that we hear these days, you know, dangers, activities that they do, mischief that they can come up with. What kind of alternative strategies are there?
Yes, I think this is important. And here we find many a parent, you know, you take your daughter or you take your son, you drop him off in a shopping mall. Where is he going to? No, Dad, Mom, I'm going with my friends, you know, to spend a few hours. And, you know, your son is jumping off, your daughter is jumping off. And the next thing, where you are gone and where she is gone to, you are totally oblivious of it. You're totally unaware of the whereabouts of your children. I always say this, is that we need to become part of our children's lives. Our children want to go out with our children. Take them to the park, play with our children. Unfortunately, today, in our busy lives that we lead, we don't have time for our own children. And as a result of it, they're getting gripped in various vices, in various wrongs. Of course, those parents that are working and your children will be at home, you know, yeah, we need to ensure that our children are supervised, you know, now with access to the internet. I always say this, telephone, the cell phone is no longer a communication tool. You know, it can be used for so much of wrongs. You know what wrong you can do with the cell phone? I don't think you can do much wrong, you know, outside the parameter of the cell phone. So what I am saying is that, you know, we need to ensure that we know the whereabouts of our children. If both the parents are working due to the circumstances, we need to ensure that there is some supervision given to our children. You know, if it's possible for you to take your son with you to your office, for you to take your daughter with you, you should do that. So they're under your gaze, they're under your vision, they're under your guard at every step of the way. Because if you're going to leave your children, and today many of us, we feel that I can trust my child. You know, you tell a parent today that your child is doing this, your son is doing that, your daughter is involved in drugs. My daughter would never do that. We are living in denial. And only later on when we begin to realize, I should have listened to what so-and-so had told me, but then it is too late. So we need to nurture our children. Number one, unfortunately today, you know, we don't acknowledge our children. What they do is never enough. Many children today have complained that, well, I've tried my best, but what I do is never enough. You know, I came out third, I tried my best. Remember, whether your child comes out last, if he's tried his best, acknowledge him. Acknowledge our children. We acknowledge everybody else's child. When last did you acknowledge your child? When last did you tell your child a kind word? So it is the small things and simple things that goes, you know, a long way in preserving and protecting the iman, you know, in our children.
Mm-hmm. What about community activities? Are there any community activities, you know, that children can be involved with?
Yes, absolutely. I think this is another very important angle that we need to, I think, look at this topic. You know, we are living in communities, and there are many activities that go on. I always say this is, you know, we are living in a society, in a community. We're not far from where many of us are living. There are people who are living in abject poverty. And alhamdulillah, there are many groups who are doing, you know, sterling work, you know, with amongst the sisters, amongst the orphans, amongst the children. You know, so we need to get our children involved in activities so that they could contribute positively towards a brighter community. So this is something that we should, I think, perhaps get involved in. Alhamdulillah, we find there are many, many Islamic organizations who are contributing positively, you know, in different aspects, whether it is zakah, lillah, hamper distributions, whether it is distributing aid, you know, going to old age homes, going to orphanages, you know, and alhamdulillah, there are people who have dedicated lives. So we need to get our children involved in that instead of them sitting at home and just waiting away their time, wasting their time, and not spending their time constructively. Like I said, send our children in the path of Allah. Send them in the path of Allah. Let them get involved in the community so that they can understand what is the value of life. Because unfortunately today, many of our children don't understand, you know, what is the value of life, what is the value of commodities, what is the value of money. You know, the only time they appreciate it is that the day it is taken away from them, and then we find that many of them, and this is another thing, many of our children have become suicidal in the Muslim community. This is another serious issue that we need to look at, where our children become suicidal and, you know, they get involved in drugs, getting involved in abuse, alcohol, drug abuse, which has become a scourge in the Muslim community.
Mm-hmm. Inshallah, maybe we can talk about that in one of our other programs, you know, suicide and our children these days. Jazakallah khair, Mulana. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of our program, but it was an eye-opener, really. I think it's so important for us to be aware. The holidays are just around the corner, so it's very important for us as parents to know what our role really is.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we should constantly make dua to Allah to protect the iman of our children, evil environment that they're exposed to. But, you know, said that it's not all doom and gloom. Mm-hmm. Let us, inshallah, you know, see how we can contribute positively, you know, to the upbringing and the maturing of our children, especially during the, you know, during the period, you know, towards the end of the year. Jazakallahu khairan. Inshallah, till we speak again.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Jazakallahu khair. Well, listeners, that was Maulana Muhammad Venker. And yes, I think it's so important. I think it's a wonderful time to be able to be with your children. You know, the whole year through, they are all occupied in school, in madrasa, in activities. This is your time with your children. So make the most of it, inshallah. Well, that's it then from us. Until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.